You are listening to Ron Van Dam, America's favorite grumpy old fart.
I'm fed up to here with your crap.
I'm not sure if he's talking to me or all of us. It's probably all of us. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, seriously?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Here I am. This is it. This is all you're going to get. It doesn't get any better than this. I get it. I got theme music. I get it. I understand. I got theme music. Don't drill it into me. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Let me introduce some of the people that participate in this program to make it what it is. It's kind of their fault. First is Jason Shaw. You heard the background music and the opening theme and all that stuff. Jason Shaw composed all that stuff and brought it to our attention and gave us the grace to employ it within the realm of this program. Thank you, Jason. John Shanahan, the opening announcer, writes many and performs many of the comedy bits that you hear on this program. He's a comic genius, as he is in many other regards. Mr. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. And the lovely and talented Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She's not necessarily British, but she does bring her talents to the program in setting up many of the national interviews that we do on this show. Thank you, Nicole. And that's pretty much it. Then there's me. I just stop by and put a microphone in front of my face and I spout out. It's about it, man. It's all I do. And then there's you. Seriously? What, are you kidding me? All right, that's enough. The political season is upon us. They call it the midterms. When I was growing up, the midterms just meant they were going to test me on everything I learned in the classroom. This is different. This is when the politicians vie for seats. It's like a gigantic game of pathetic musical chairs. Here's what concerns me. Here's the deal, as they say. Most Americans are stupid. They don't have time to do anything, but they have time enough to be stupid. Now, I'm not talking about you. You're not stupid at all by virtue of the fact that you listen to this program. People who don't listen to the program are gut-wrenchingly stupid. So it's not you. I'm putting you on a pedestal. I'm not going to, I'm just putting you there. Most people are stupid. They vote according to names. Don't do that. You don't understand. You don't understand. You're supposed to vote for people according to their views and opinions on various social matters. That's their job. Their job is not to have names. Most Americans will look at a lawn sign as they're driving down the street, and if you happen to have a house on a street that has traffic on it, you're going to do quite well politically. Politicians walk around, they don't really, we don't have time to tell you the way that we feel about things. I'll tell you if you ask, but otherwise I'm just going to pop a lawn sign, put a lawn sign on your lawn. Is my name going to be there? It's going to say vote for me. That should do it. And that's the problem. the lawn signs are not supposed to mean that you say, oh, look at their name. Oh, I'll vote for them. I like the name. Are you crazy? Don't vote at all if you're going to do that. Here's what you're supposed to do, especially in this age of computers and social things and Googling and smoogling and all this twatter and Twitter and stuff. You can very easily, within a second, take a name running for some kind of office with a lawn sign, punch in their name, and find out what they're about. It takes 2 seconds, but most Americans, I don't have time to do that. I saw the pretty lawn sign. It was pretty. I'm voting for that person. It was a pretty lawn sign. That's not good. And that's what I'm scared about, the stupidity of the vast public who have no time to be smart. I hear all the time, you know, John Sullivan is running for state senator. Sullivan, that's Irish. I like that. I'm going to vote for the Irishman. Oh, my God. Don't be so stupid. Don't say, you sound so stupid when you say that. Oh, I like it. It's O'Sullivan. It's O apostrophe Sullivan. Oh, that's it. I'm voting for him. Oh, my God. Or you see a lawn. Sometimes they put their pictures on the lawn signs. Yeah, vote for people according to the way they look. That makes sense. Yeah, go for that. Well, that was a pretty girl. Maureen Johnson. She's pretty. I'm voting for her. I want her representing me. Oh, really? Did you check into it? She worships the devil in her spare time. And she hates children. Well, that's not so bad. But the devil part is not good. By the way, I don't hate children. I just don't need them around me a lot. I have no problem with people having children. Have as many children as you want. Just like keep them away from me. Anyway, if you have a young child, do not bring them to restaurants to scream and cry and then let them scream and cry. Don't bring them into movie theaters where they'll scream and cry. Don't put them on airplanes while they're screaming and cry. Ron, they're children. They scream and cry. That's why I don't want them near me. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get crazy. Anyway, please use your head, use your noodle, as they say. I don't know what that has to do with brains, but I guess noodles equals brains. I don't know who came up with that one. But please check into the people you're going to vote for. To me, I know you're saying to yourself, Ron, what qualities do you look for? It depends on the position, to be honest with you. If it's a local position, I want somebody that has morals, loves the land, loves business. I mean, a little bit of everything rolled into one, is able to make decisions, but also listen to the people. Just listen to the people. And when you get a little higher up in government, you're going to a federal position, like a state senator, or, well, that's not federal. When we get into a U.S. senator, that kind of thing, then I'm more interested in their political views, obviously. That's where we start getting into that stuff. But what's the overriding quality that I look for in every single person that takes office? Morals. Morals. And goodness. That's what I'm looking for. Somebody who has a heart, like the Tin Man, and somebody who has morals. That's all I'm looking for. From there, we can take it on, you know? But we got to start there. You know why they have Facebook and Snapchat and Snatch, Smat, and all that stuff, and, you know, I don't know what their things are called, Instagram, Instant Oatmeal, all those things. You know why they have them? So we can check people out to see how they really think. That's important. If you go on to look anybody up on Facebook or Snapface or Instapot, and you will find who they are. You will, because you can't hide it. As soon as you get into a social media deal, you can't hide your feelings. They come out. They come out. It's like people are provoked on social media. I get a lot of requests to have Facebook friends. I'm the Facebook friend store. Everybody wants to be my Facebook friend. In real life, not so much. In a computer, sure, why not? And I check them out. I check them out to see what kind of people they are. I don't take on any person as a Facebook friend just because they asked. I don't do that. That's stupid. That category, stupid. That means you're lonely and desperate. Now, I check them out. I go to their Facebook page, and I see what they're about. And I only take on Facebook friends who I would want to be friends with in real life, or at least in a shallow sense. And if I go to somebody's page, and the only thing that's there is something they posted in 1932 before they even had the internet, then I get a little leery. Perhaps that's not a real person. Perhaps it's somebody from a weird country who's trying to get my personal information or something like that. I like crazy people. I think they're fun, but you can also tell when they're like legitimately crazy. I don't need that either. I have enough of that in my life. Yes, I choose my friends wisely. I choose my Facebook friends wisely. I don't eat sushi. I mean, I make decisions. I'm not eating raw fish, no matter what you say. I don't care how culturally acceptable it may be or how well you refrigerate the damn piece of fish. I ain't eating it. I know a lot of people eat bison. And venison and deer, and I don't even know what they are. This, to me, it's basic roadkill on a stick. I don't know. I'm not eating it. I'm sorry. I have no interest in it. Ron, have you ever had alligator? No, never had the occasion. If I saw it on the menu in a restaurant, I wouldn't order it because I don't really care to. Ron, where's your adventurous spirit? Well, it's not in my mouth. Actually, I take that back. Anyway, I have a very interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. We're going to talk to a head realtor, not of a realtor company, but the Realtor Association of whatever. This is a very weird time in the housing market. I can't even get into it right now because it's a very weird time in the world. Let me just say something about that, if I may, for just a second, please. And I'm speaking to the stupid people who may have tuned into this show by mistake. Because this show is not for you. If you're stupid, it's not for you. I'm a sarcastic son of a bitch, and I don't think you want to be around me right now. But here's the thing. The entire world is going through this inflation thing. The economies of just about every country is going down the tubes. Do not ever think that is the United States is going through this horrific economic problem right now, as we have in the past. It's not just us. It's the entire world. Here's the thing. We are all connected. Thank you, Internet, by the way, for doing this. Mess this up, too. We're all interconnected. We get our stuff from other countries. Other countries get their stuff from us. We're all intertwined. When Putin decides to invade Ukraine, he fucks everybody up. It's not just an area skirmish. The whole world suffers. This coronavirus, I had it all wrong. I kept saying through the whole corona shutdown thing, I kept saying, boy, when this corona thing is over, People are going to like be in the streets, going to restaurants, buying stuff. They will be like at the top. They'll be going on vacations after being shut in for so long. They'll be having parties, and it's going to be like, it's going to be a boom to the economy. That's what I thought. Boy, was I wrong. And it's not just in this country. Globally, boy, was I wrong. Because during that period of time, when everything was shut down for 2 years, 2-3 years, nobody was manufacturing anything. Factories were shut down. Things weren't being made. Supplies weren't being put together or shipped or anything like that. So the backup occurred. And then when the coronavirus was over, everybody wanted everything real fast because they couldn't wait to get it now, but it wasn't there to get. There were shipping problems and backlogs and back orders and manufacturing problems, and you couldn't get stuff because they hadn't made stuff in a couple of years. It wasn't just baby formula. That was for a different reason. I didn't think that that would be the problem, but it is. So now everything costs more, and then Putin decides to put his little feet into this thing and make it even worse. So, yeah, it's we've been enduring, not just as Americans, we've been in, the whole world has been enduring this problem. So don't blame it on this country. There's no one to blame for it. It just was. I guess whoever unleashed this coronavirus thing is to blame, but apparently they're getting off scot-free. I don't know who it was. Some guy named Bob and some kind of... in Hong Kong, I have no idea where, in China, whatever. Anyway, the problem exists, and we're all, we come out of this pandemic, and we're out of it. I mean, you know, you go to stadiums, and no one's wearing a mask. We're out of it. We're out of it. There's no question. You go to a supermarket, a couple of people wearing masks here and there, and that's just fine, but the plastic is down. I mean, we're over it. We're over it. But we're not. Now we seem to go from problem to, oh, okay, that's finished. Oop, new problem based on the prior problem. Oop, new problem based on the two prior problems. It follows us. It follows us. So the real estate market, getting back to that, is also tubular, going down the tubes. Houses are starting to drop in price. So that's good, but there's no inventory because nobody's moving because the interest rates on a mortgage are so high. The only people that can really be mobile are people who sell their homes for a certain amount and they have no mortgages, so it's a cash deal, and then they take the cash and they buy another house for about the same price. Those people can move around, but that's about it, and that's not enough. Yeah, yeah. Someday, do you remember, there was a long period of time when things were pretty cool. Long period of time. But now they're not. So they kind of are, but they're not. We are being tested as a global society is what we're doing here. In any event, I don't mean to be morose in any sense of the word. Actually, I look forward to things because they can't be much worse than this. Actually, they could. So be thankful. All right. My guest coming up momentarily, we're going to be talking real estate. And I don't know how much they want to talk about that because I think they just want to talk about being a realtor. So I have no idea what they want to talk about. Whatever. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, going back to my prior point before the anything happened here, please, with the political season coming up, treat it in a smart way. Look into the candidates that are running. Don't vote off of lawn signs. Please, that scares the hell out of me if that's going to be the case. And make sure that the information you get is something that is viable. Speak to the candidates themselves if you can. I know in most cases you can't, but read up about them. Or go to their Facebook accounts. That'll tell you everything you want to know. It'll also tell you what happened to Becky from high school. Yeah, look up her Facebook account. You'll be amazed what Becky's into now. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. I don't know who Becky is. I just use that name every once in a while for convenience sake. We'll be right back after this short message.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts.
Victoria Gillespie joins us now. She's Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at the National Association of Realtors. And we're talking about the realtor kind of thing, the real estate, which is, my God, we got a lot of talked about. But let's talk about a realtor, first of all. What role do they actually play in the entire scheme of house purchases?
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me. Realtors, they are critical to the housing market. Our realtors subscribe to a code of ethics, so they are more than just an agent or a technology app.
Mm-hmm.
They are advocates and champions for the realtor or for the consumer from point A to point Z. They're advocates in their community, and they navigate very complex transactions and make it a whole lot easier for our consumers.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's probably the major purchase of one's lifetime to get involved in the housing market.
Correct. Now, and you also know that home ownership equates to just generational wealth, right?
Yeah.
It is the biggest asset. So you definitely want to seek wise counsel as you navigate that process.
Yeah, no question about that. Of course, it's a topic of conversation right now, especially because there aren't a lot of homes on the market. First there were, then there weren't. That kind of changes back and forth, doesn't it?
You know, interesting point. Inventory continues to remain tight,
mm-hmm.
and it will in the coming months and possibly in the next few years.
Really?
Because what's occurring is current homeowners have a very, very favorable rate due to the very low rate environment.
Right.
So they're very hesitant to trade up or trade down because they don't want to lose that very, very low interest rate.
Right.
So we are committed to encouraging new home construction, right? Affordable housing. Those are the things we advocate for on a regular basis.
Yeah. Isn't it always like kind of, the market's always up and down. I mean, the winter, not a lot of people put their houses on the market. Not a lot of people search for them. Spring goes up a little bit. I mean, was it not that in the past few years before this pandemic thing, that the housing market kind of was, you know, goes back and forth? If there was a glut and then there wasn't. I mean, isn't this all like cyclical in a sense?
It very much is cyclical. And one thing you can't do is you can't necessarily time the market, right?
Right.
But we know that historically there are favorite times to list. But I will tell you, I practiced for over 10 years in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is my fourth quarter was always my strongest quarter of the year, which you would think with holidays, et cetera.
Right.
So listen, there's always relocations and opportunity. There's always, if you are a proactive realtor and you build relationships,
yeah,
that's the way to sustainable business.
Very good. Now, it goes a little bit beyond that because realtor associations actually do give back to the communities that they serve. They become experts in a certain locale area, which is really handy to the home buyer and the person looking for a home. But they go beyond that. They actually try to beautify and make things more feasible and livable.
Absolutely. So as we said that the realtor is the consumer champion,
mm-hmm.
they're also the champion of the community. Literally, if they identify a need, they're in a position to help. So to give you an idea of just volunteerism, service giving back to the community. At NAR, 66% of our realtors, so we have over 1.5 million. That's a huge number. 66% of our realtor members volunteer on a monthly basis. That's a big amount of time giving back to rejuvenate and energize in public service. So they are very much invested. 79% of realtors make consistent charitable donations to causes that are important in helping others in need. So we are very, very proud of our realtor members.
Very much so, yeah. And planting trees is one of the aspects, isn't it?
You know what? That's a fun one we're working on right now. Mm-hmm. So remember when I said we have over 1.5 million members. Mm-hmm. We are planting, and this was an initiative led by our president, Leslie Ruta Smith, out of Texas. We are planting a tree for every single member. Think about that. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And the reason we're committed to doing this is so that we can work on the things that help mitigate pollution, improve air quality, right? It's cool and urban. We create recreational places where people can be outdoors in shaded areas. So we're very excited, and we're doing one on behalf of every member. And we have actually partnered with the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, the Forest Services area. So we are thrilled to take that one step in sustainability.
You know, I hope that someday an organization leans on the home builders and says, why do you have to clear out forests in order to build lots of homes? I mean, why can't you build within the tree lines as opposed to knocking everything down? That always bothered me that I see these, you have to plant the trees all over again. Well, you're planting them where you just knocked them down. What are you doing? That's always confusing to me.
It's an interesting perspective, yeah. Really, Ron. And I will just tell you, more organizations are finding that we must be good corporate citizens and do our part. So who knows? Maybe we can invoke that change. We are committed to doing our part in the sustainability challenge.
Yeah, tell them that Ron would like that and see what happens.
I'm going to make a note of that, Ron. I'm going to tell them to talk to you. Something else you may want to know when you talk about giving back, roughly about 20 years ago, because we had our anniversary for this, NAR created what we call the Good Neighbor Program. And what that does is it helps identify realtors, those people out in the community that are doing extraordinary work to improve their communities through volunteerism. And some of the areas, we just announced our top five winners for the year, but some of the areas that they help improve the lives of others are food pantries, after school programs, affordable housing, youth and development mentoring. So these realtors are aligned with their communities because that's where they make their livelihood. That's where they raise their families. They are truly advocates in the communities that they live.
Very nice. Well, continued success to you in all of this. I don't know what the percentage of baby boomers are right now, but they're looking to downsize in first floor living. Yet all the homes that are being built seem to be the opposite. They seem to be small mansions. I don't get that either. If you could lean on these people a lot more, we could have more home sales, I think.
maybe I should join you. Affordable housing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, when it back
let's see what we can do.
Please. You know, back in the 80s, I think my mortgage was like 13%, and like people are crying about, you know, 4. I don't get it.
You know what's interesting, Ron? I say that I was in financial services right decades ago.
Yes.
And late 80s, double digits, 18%,
there,
right?
There you go.
But here's much of the current first-time home buyers have not experienced those rate environments.
I know.
To them, so every time the rate rises,
I know,
it impacts their buying power. So I hear you because I lived through it also, but it definitely impacts purchasing power.
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah. And I guess it's what you're used to, as you say, where you were. It's not where it was. It's, I get it. When it was zero, it's hard to go up to 2. So I understand that completely. I get that. All right. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to learn and discover. Where would one go for that?
Well, thanks, Ron, for asking. First off, partner with that realtor in your local community. Mm-hmm. Grab a cup of coffee with them. They're a wealth of information. But you can also go online to nar.realtor for mm-hmm. all things in reference to housing and the real estate market.
Excellent. Victoria, you've been a wealth of information. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I'll use different words and talk about different things. Will you join me then, smart person? I think you will. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.